So last week we did a sermon. This is going to be kind of a part two piece, though a shorter version of that as we head into communion. And then we'll start next week on Genesis chapter 1. The word of the Lord this morning, though, will be taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. And let the message of Christ, literally it would be the word of Christ, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord. Last week we talked a little bit about reading Scripture and the importance of it in the life of the believer to be immersed in Scripture in such a way that it defines your walk with God, your life with God. And it includes, of course, a head knowledge. It includes, of course, an informational piece, but quite often it ought to be read in such a way that you're not reading it for something else, you're not reading it for someone else, you're reading it for yourself. That is to say, you're asking what it is that God is saying to you through his word, and not through your wants, through your wishes, through your own desires, through a desire to have what you believe affirmed. You actually come to the text and submit to it in order that God would speak to you about anything that would be needing to be revealed to you. And it's meant to be both a heart and mind condition. That is to say, we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds by also letting our hearts be transformed through God's word. And so it was largely geared towards reading Scripture on your own, taking charge of your own spiritual growth in that sense. However, we always want to pair that with the reading of Scripture with the church. That is to say, we want to talk about making sure that we're doing it in ways that are truthful to God's word, as well as listening to God's people in the process. And it really is a defense of church here. You get this as well as a minister, and you get in the midst of a conversation with someone, and you tell them, eventually you get up, what do you do with your life? And I'm a pastor, I'm a minister. And I have some of the strangest responses sometimes. Like, fly fishing is my church. Or things of that regard. I feel like when I'm out by myself and doing something I love to do, God is with me and that's really all I need. Now, of course, I really like fly fishing with God, too. I think he's with me when it happens, though I am not particularly good at it, so I have much practice to gain. But the role of the church is just not simply about me going and finding God. It's not me going and having a place where I am personally connecting with God primarily. Does that happen? Yes. Do you walk out of here hopefully having heard God's word and applying that to your own personal life? Yes. Do you come and you worship God? Does that transform how it is you think about God and in the midst of music, in the midst of song, in the midst of the prayers? Yes, absolutely. However, church is not an individual affair. It is the gathering of the people of God to learn from one another what it means to follow God. It has its very heart in the entire Scripture, going from the chosen Hebrew people all along the way who would gather with festivals, who would gather with the repentance of their sins, who would gather together to celebrate God's deliverance for their lives. And they do that together, reminding one another, "Here, thus saith the Lord." We'd had a sermon series a while back on the book of Nehemiah, which is a great one, and it talks about Nehemiah being released from captivity in Babylon and coming back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls. And they have this great scene in which in Nehemiah they gathered the people together. They're doing this rebuilding project together as the people of God after being in slavery and captivity for all these years. And they kind of dust off the old word of God that has not been spoken for a long time. Ezra gets in front of the people and he reads it to everybody, and they're just cut to the heart. We had forgotten this. And then they give themselves to the dedication of the feasts and the festivals once again. They gather together for repentance and prayer. They decide to recommit the community that they've just rebuilt literally with bricks by rebuilding in their own hearts with the Word of God. And the Word of God is meant in this sense to be the very thing that binds people together. And this is what the church is. The church, of course, does things together. There is this camaraderie. There is this sense in which we're gathering together to do things with one another. But friends, you take out the Word of God from the gathering of the church, it is not a church. You are just merely gathering around kind of principles of gathered humanity. Gathering around principles of saying, let's just kind of work together to achieve a common good. That's not what a church is. A church is a place that gathers around God's Word. It is transformed by God's Word. It is challenged by God's Word, particularly in these Colossians texts, that when we gather together and we're listening to one another and we're letting the Word of God dwell in our hearts, kinds of behaviors and characters will be formed and fashioned from that, like humility and patience and gentleness and forgiveness. How do those things come about? Isn't because we kind of got together and thought these would be good ideas. It's because God's Word is the very thing that calls us to these actions. God's Word is the very thing that challenges us in ways in which we recognize through its reading that we've not been loving. We've not been compassionate. We haven't had humility. We've been arrogant, we've not been gentle, we've been impatient at times, we've been unforgiving, we let anger rule in our hearts. We have decided that we will live by our truths rather than God's truths, but if we submit to God's Word, that changes. And this is what a church does when it gathers together. And there's an important piece to this. There was an article in First Things by Matthew Block entitled "Misreading Scripture Alone." And a new survey of Americans who hold to a high view of Scripture said that most Americans who hold high views of Scripture these days hold views that were once condemned as false. Heretical would be the word, heresy, by most of the important councils of the church. They found in a survey that over 50% deny that the Holy Spirit is a person, and just rather look at him as a force, not a part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some 22 plus 16, let's say, over 40% of people think that Jesus Christ was someone that God the Father created, that wasn't someone who was always with the Father from the beginning of time, saying that Jesus was just a created being, but even though somehow he forgives our sins, he is not God incarnate. High views of Scripture, did I say that? High view of Scripture and yet holding to views that are quite false in the reading of Scripture. A large portion hold, the word is Pelagian thoughts about salvation. What that means is, how is a person saved in their faith? They're saved by their works. They're saved by what they do. And the author of the article goes on to say, these are not small problems. What's the problem? Is that we have thought that holding to sola scriptura, which is a part of our tradition, Scripture alone is what we follow, means that we can read it alone. And that's not true. What I mean by that is, of course, you can read it alone in your homes. It means that you are not It's not possible for you to read it in a vacuum. It's not possible for you to read it and perfectly get it right on your own without the lives of the believers who have gone in front of you. You need the Ezras to come along and open the Word and say, here's what we've missed. I have a high view of Scripture, and I have to say that I have had many things along the way that I once thought were absolutely true and indispensable, challenged along the way by readers of Scripture who have pointed me in the right directions. I have misread them on my own and have had to have teachers come along and to teach me what it is that Scripture is saying, to really trust that there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, really trust that a person is saved by grace through faith, to really trust that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who came to die for my sins and rise again, to really trust that the Holy Spirit is with me, leading me into truth. It is important for us to gather together as the church of Christ, to listen to His Word together so that we can encourage one another in the following of His Word. I've been doing some study recently, of course, with my own program, and I came across a great text. Most of what this German dude writes is, I don't really want to quote to you. It makes my head hurt myself. But he had a great one that I thought was really going to be helpful for us today. And the question is, a great one, why submit to teaching? Isn't that a good question? Really, why? Why would you come here and listen not only to me, but many other people who stand in the pulpit and preach? Why would you go to a Bible study and want to listen to the words of someone who is wrote the materials for the text, or the DVD for the text, or for the leader of the group that is prepared for the week? Why would you do that? Why don't you just go fishing and read the Bible in your study at home and call it a day? Karl Barth says, even as direct readers of Scripture, we cannot withdraw from our particular place in the church, which has baptized us, sent us on this road of faith. Of course, our baptism isn't just simply a ritual. It's actually a very important thing in the life of a believer. From the church which has baptized us and instructed us, or from its witness with regard to understanding what we're trying to read. If Holy Scripture alone is the divine teacher in the school in which we find ourselves, which we say is true, right? If Holy Scripture alone is the divine teacher, it is. In the church, we will not, however, want to find ourselves in this school of the church without fellow pupils there, without cooperation with them, without readiness to be instructed by older and more experienced fellow pupils, and as fellow pupils, to be instructed by them. This is basically what we call the teacher of the church. It's very important to what he's saying is that when we listen to the text of Scripture, we also listen to the text of people's lives. We also listen to the text of the words that they've said in helping us understand Scripture rightly. And that is the humility necessary of being a part of the people of God. It's the humility necessary for the teacher of the people of God to have the people of God come to the teacher and say, you got that wrong. Because we do. I've gone back to some old sermons when I first got here. And, man, I would preach those differently. You know? But I tried hard. That counts for something, right? Because along the way, even with the teachers of the Word, we are ourselves, if we are following God's Word, being taught as well. Not only taught by Him, but being taught by the people of the church. And that includes, friends, dead people. There is a huge publishing industry right now just churning out Christian books left and right. There's been teachers for centuries that have turned out lectures and sermons and books, you know? But for every age, there's only a few that rise to the cream of the crop and stand the test of time. And the reason that we listen to the church, particularly the church of the past, who's written these great texts, from Augustine to Anselm to Teresa of Avila to Martin Luther to John Calvin, is so that we indeed get it right. And that much of the stuff that's being written today that reduces God to pop psychology, that reduces God to a prosperity gospel, which is to say that if I'm giving and giving abundantly, then I'm going to be rich. To teachers who are denying that there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teachers who are preaching a gospel of following Christ without submitting to Him in faith, you name it, there is just a lot of bad stuff being written. How do you avoid that? How do you understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ when everything that is packaged as Christian is being peddled as something that you should listen to? What Scripture says in submitting yourselves to the body of Christ is that you can't do that on your own. That none of us is wired for complete wisdom out of the gate. We often have selfish impulses that need to be kind of boxed in by the church that surrounds us to say, here's how we read it. Here's how the church has read it all along. Here's how we have learned to submit to what God is saying. Here's what it means to be faithful and true. And yes, that means that there are books and that there are sermons and that there are ideas that are false, they're wrong, and they inhibit the life of the disciple. How do we do this best? Well, we do this in a church, the church that gathers to hear God's word together. Where in the school of the church, where the Holy Scripture is the divine teacher, we are gathered together with fellow pupils to learn from Him and to listen to the church of the past as well as the church now. We do not elevate tradition to such an extent that it is our Bible. It is not. But it helps us read it faithfully. Nor do we ever say that they absolutely perfectly got it right. They didn't, which is why we continue to read it well. And we continue to submit to Scripture alone in this reading of it, but we do it together as a community of faith. We do it together knowing that there is false truths that need to be addressed. And we do that knowing that we are asked to humbly come together and learn from one another as we learn to follow Jesus Christ according to His Word. It is the church that reads Scripture well together. The church that helps each other as we understand it well together. And therefore, the church is not some kind of secondary, unimportant thing. Now, it's truthfully, it could be said that many of the things that we call church are not themselves church. But we are in this place, a place dedicated and set aside for the worship of God, and the gathering around His Word so that we can be the body of Christ to the world. We are called to learn from one another in its proclamation of the Word, to learn from one another as we follow Jesus Christ. You are fellow pupils, and we need to listen to one another. That's a beautiful part about our tradition. Pastor does not get to stand up in a Presbyterian church and say, I'm only accountable to God. And no Christian believer says, well, I'm accountable to the elders of the church. I'm accountable to the denomination which I serve. I'm accountable to you as fellow followers of Jesus Christ. And we gather around, though, His Word. His Word alone. And therefore, it will help us not misread Scripture alone, but to follow Scripture together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the church, and we thank you for the way in which the church gathers around your word and has done so for centuries. Help us to love your word together. Help us to encourage each other in the knowledge of your word together. Help us to be a community of faith that shows both truth and grace. The courage to say what's true, the grace to pick people up who have failed it. The courage to say what Christ has said, and the compassion to gather around people who need to hear it again and again, knowing the healing that comes through it. Lord, may we read faithfully your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.